What a joy it has been to be with you and so much of our time together in the courts of God. Really, there is no better place on earth. As you used to say, the Sabbath is the mark of our soul. On that day we receive food to seek the face of God, to love Him, and to reflect His glory. And blessed are they who take the word of God before Him day by day. I sat a secretary for 10 years. She was 75 when she was 85 when she died. But three sermons, we have three services on Sunday, and possible. And then on Sunday evening, she'd get down on her knees and she'd spend an hour or two through the three sermons of the day. What a blessing. Through the preached word. It raises the question, doesn't it? Just important. Is the word, is the church, in the life of the individual Christian? On one side, there are of Rome and who declare that the church is in the way. And you are indebted to the clericalism of the Roman Catholic hierarchy for your every thought and your every blessing, so that the Pope wields and claims have power over the believer in matters pertaining to this and the next. On the other hand, there is, especially in modern evangelicalism, who answer this question by saying, the church is not that important. It's rather insignificant. I can stay at home and read the Bible. I can believe the Bible and not belong to what I suspiciously regard as religion. The church is only a voluntary society. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian, saying today. Well, both of these extremes are wrong. Both are unreformed, unacceptable to the Word of God, which says so plainly, fells together and treasures the core. The Reformers and the Puritan we admire in ages past had a high view of the church. John Calvin, who quoted Cyprian and Augustine, said, "Do not prefer the church above all other objects. We are unworthy of being counted among her members." God for his father who refuses to have the church. And to that, Calvin added this statement, "For there is no other way to enter into life unless the womb gives us birth, nourishes us at her breasts for care and guidance, until putting off mortal flesh, we become in heaven." Our fathers have valued the church. Today, we fear that this is greatly waning. This Lord, I'm convinced, is fostered by a lack of understanding, lack of spirit-worked motivation. The church is today as Christ's institution. About what the church can do by a believer, week by week. And so tonight, the fruit of holiness, one of which is tonight, that it moves us to appreciate the church of Jesus Christ. From Matthew 16, verse 18, "Only upon this rock I build my church." Now, with God's help, I want to bring this theme of holiness, appreciating the church, in three thoughts. First, status of the church. The status of the church. My church. To look at the substance of the church. As founded upon this rock. And third, look at the success of the church as the workmanship of Christ. I will build. Appreciating the church, its substance, its when Jesus tells Peter, "I will build my," he declares that the church belong. The word my is sentence in the original Greek. And you need to know that because in the Greek language, order is not always followed. For example, you could say the dog fence jumped over the dog, or fence jumped, was jumped. You can change it around, you see. But the words you throw are the words that receive peculiar emphasis. Jesus does is he throws to the front the church belongs to him. That the status of the she is owned by the Lord Christ. Now, the ecclesia is used in different ways in the New Testament. Sometimes the worldwide visible church, local individual church, sometimes a group of congregational church office bearers. This here, my church in Matthew 16, people as his own. The ecclesia, his assembly, his children bound to him more than those of family or friendship, is defined by a saving relationship to the Messiah for her with the old sacrificial system merely for to atone for sin. So the church is a people, not a building, a people bonded to him in mercy, bonded to him in dependency upon him. Now the amazing thing about Matthew 16, this to a small group of 12 ordinary, a motley group of disciples. Some were fishermen, hypocrites. One was a tax collector. Surprising small group of people. He looks at them and he says, "You belong to me." Judas, of course, only belonged to him. But the other 11, we trust, belonged invisibly to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were his church. And you see, it is this, my friends, that gives to the church of Jesus Christ. Write it this way. If I were to say to you that pen, and you were to be at an auction with this, perhaps you give 10 pounds or 20 pounds at the most, an antique pen. But if I said this is the antique pen with which John Calvin wrote the Pilgrim's Progress, or Bunyan wrote the Pilgrim's Progress, sorry. Or John Calvin wrote the Institutes. Well, the auction price would go sky high, wouldn't it? We'd give £1,000. John Calvin's, because it belonged to Calvin. Don't you think the church is valuable? Jesus. Now, it's £1,000 for that pen. Still would be something be that great of a thing, would it? Would you? Well, I gave my life for this pen. I gave everything for this pen. So this is a very moot comparison. Gave everything for his church. He paid us by giving himself, says Ephesians 5. Christ so loved himself for it. Know how valuable the church is? You've got to see him hanging there, flame of his father's wrath, enduring the passions of the forsakenness of his father, the desertion of his disciples, in soul agony, crying out, "My God, my forsaken me," all to win his bride. As Eve was born, so the church was born from the wounded of the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of which flowed blood for her justification, water for her sanctification, so she died the forgiven bride of the Immaculate. Dear friends, speak about the church, about the bride of Jesus, which cost his own blood. And so we need to be careful to speak about the church, because we're speaking about institution. That was paid for, the Son of God. We're speaking about an institution, a member deserved to perish, to go into the but for You see, you and I, everyone are sinners, friends. And hell, all things of sin. The reformers are often criticized for being preoccupied, we are told, and making appalling utterances about the travesty and the heinousness of sin. I found a Puritan or reformer yet that speaks about it as odiously as God speaks about sin in frightening terms. The prophet Isaiah said, Israel, man covered in boils and ulcers from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Jesus said that out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, creations, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. Piety to a community of snakes with poison under their lips. And the book of Revelation compares the bottomless pit opened by a great divine hand and the everlasting burnings of hell spewing forth light of the sun. Are exaggerations of the depravity of man. Civilization has done even in this last century or two. What depravity was exhibited when Africans were in submission? What depravity was displayed in incinerators and torture chambers? Beasts of centuries past, and even of this, what's going on in Zimbabwe even now? And illustrations of the radical. What about in our own lands? What about the vast children out of the womb, cutting them up, incinerating them? Right to choose. What depravity is this? You see, you and I stand before God in a corporate silence of guilt, belonging to baby-killing, blood-shedding society. But are we any better as individuals? Are not in the depths of our soul, as the old divines used to say, of each of us testifying against us even tonight, do we not have by mad hearts, unworthy of being the bride of Jesus? Our very thoughts, our fantasies, our resentments, our bitternesses, our self-pity condemn us. Our words, which are often hot, our actions that are a little better, even towards some, condemn us. You see, so immense depravity, so great is our need that the only way of escape from the incinerators of divine wrath is the precious dowry price of the Lord. The only way is for Him to take us and regrace His Holy Spirit to make us new creations and to strip us of our unrighteousnesses, righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to go down to us on Calvary, descending into hell, giving up the goal to purchase the church. You see, Calvary is the place of sin, but also what God is bride. He loves His church, an everlasting love. He loves her so much, He has begotten Son for her. Some of you have one son. And quite frankly, I won't give him away. And you've never done me wrong. And a sinless God gave His only begotten Son who are rebels and enemies who did Him. People, sinners. Do you understand now Jesus must love the church? Dear believer, to call us, He's not ashamed to say, and must hurt Him when people speak so flippantly about the church, so easily, condemn her so thoroughly. I was engaged to a young woman who has proven it now for nearly 40 years with him as a teenager. It was a foolish thing to do because the car and he put his finger in my chest several times in a row and he said, brother, criticize me, but don't you ever criticize my woman. Oh, I got the message. We think we can criticize Christ's bride so easily. You men know what I'm talking about. If you love your wife, you don't think kindly of a person who criticizes her, do you? We need to heed the admonition because of the status of the church. Bride. She's my church. Now, does that mean we can... I didn't say that. I said weakly. There are times we need to criticize with tears. And with the inclusion of ourselves. And with confession. And repentance. And cries for revival and reformation. But please, please, for your... Don't get into the spirit of our day, which criticizes all kinds of us so easily. I shudder in so many churches, ministers or office bearers or the children of God. You're touching the bride of Christ. She belongs to Him. Be careful what you say. Trust Jesus. His own blood. But now Jesus said, this rock, I will build my rock. Well, wars have been fought over these words. People have over them. Church leaders and synods have argued about them. They're inscribed in Rome, of St. Peter's in Rome. And Rome says, this rock. And through Peter, who is Christ, founder of the Church of Rome, so they say, is passed on to succeeding bishops, they call popes. Rome is wrong. Rome has to be wrong. An erring, unstable man, an impetuous man, to whom Jesus had to say once, get thee behind me, Satan. Such a man? No. Is the mighty confession. Confession, namely, the Messiahship. Thou art the Christ, the Son of Peter. Upon that confession, I will bitch the divine sonship, the Messiahship, the Lordship of the Son of God. David Dixon said, the truth that Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah, then in one person, the anointed Savior of the world, is the main, the faith of all believers is founded as upon a... Now it is true, of course, Petra, or Petros, means stone, and the word Petra means rock. J.W. Alexander said this, he said, this may indicate stone, that is a fragment of the rock itself. Is Ephesians 2:20 tells us the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. But Paul goes on to say, he puts Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So what Paul is actually saying is rock. Who he is. And what he has done in his work is the rock. It's the chief cornerstone. But upon that, the apostles build. And there is a foundation for the church laid in the New Testament. New Testament's our foundation, the Pauline, the Petrine, truths written by these great men of the New Testament. They are foundational for us because they're built upon the rock. And they're uncrucified in Jesus Christ and Him exalted. And so the cornerstone and the apostles build on that a foundation for the church of all ages. The actual substance of the church are ends redeemed by sovereign grace. It's like a little brick in the front, low, exposed, almost invisible. Another's in the back, hidden. But all together, God has a place, you see, for every them in His church. In the new temple, the heaven, which one day, when Christ appears, shall come down from heaven made for her husband. Glorious structure, the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. The apostles set the foundations for the church of all ages with the gospels and the epistles. And upon that, God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and makes them bricks in His new temple, Jerusalem. Of the church. Not this physical, but you, if you're a believer. You become one brick. You become one stone. Built upon the rock. And so you see, what many people do is when they look at people, because that's what you see. And they judge the church instead of by the chief cornerstone. Which is, now what a mistake that is. You know, my wife, a contractor, when I was a young boy at home, sometimes late in the evening, he'd have these blueprints talking to them, and we knew we couldn't interrupt. They'd be talking about how to build the house. My father died. He said to me, "Rose, in all those years, 40 years of ever asked me, Mr. Beakey, do you hope to build?" One person. All the shingles I was going to put on the roof. People wanted to know where the windows were. Well, one time I even had to rip out a floor, he said, because it was 2 inches too high. They wanted to step 2 inches lower. People were fussy about it, but they didn't want to know about the foundation. Isn't it that way often? Someone said Christianity in America is about 1 inch deep and 1,500 miles tall, the dimensions of our country. Deep. My friend, I hope you're not satisfied. I hope you're not satisfied with the outward show of your religion. I hope you're not satisfied with the outward show of your religion. Question. Am I part of the substance, visible church? Am I built on the cornerstone? Am I grounded in Jesus Christ, building my house of hope upon the sand? What hope? You know what happens to that house when he comes. You must be built on the chief cornerstone. Must be built on Jesus Christ. No other foundation will be. No other name by which we may enter in. And the bloody passport of the substitutionary status will bring you into heaven. Recently, there were some friends who were coming from Canada. They got to the border. Forgot a passport. Some other papers. He said, "Well, will this do?" "No, no, the passport." "Will that do?" "No, no, nothing will do." They had to turn around and go back home. Could never come to America that week. You see, on the great day of days when you stand before God, God's not going to ask you to what denomination did you belong. He's not going to ask you, first and foremost, did you come faithfully to church, as important as that is. Where is your only hope? On what foundation did you build for eternity? Passport. By which you can enter in. Passport of Christ himself. Dipped in blood. Do you belong to the substance of the church? Are you on the rock now? Has Jesus taken you off of your own rock, so to speak, your own house of hopes? Has he shown you his unrighteousness before him? Has he, of all the good you thought, has he shown you that your best rags? And is hushed, convicted of your act, convicted of your original sin, that your whole being is nothing but sin. Has he convicted you? Has he shown you what was referenced to thee? O Lord, if thou shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? There is forgiveness with thee in Jesus. We fear that thou mayest be holy. You see, that's the fruit of being the Lord Jesus Christ. I, my church, never taught this evening, not only the status of the church, the sense of the church, but the success of the church. I will build. I just love these words, don't you? Of course, I'm called to be a minister, and you want to see the church built. And yet you know, you see, you can't take it on your human... Yes, you have to take it in one sense, but you can't convert anyone, mess with anyone. In fact, many times church work seems to be 3 steps forward, 4... I can't do it. Could he? You know, Luther used to pray, Lord, I've been in harness all day long, and I've had the cares of the church upon my night. I need some rest, Lord. And so I roll the church over unto thee tomorrow morning. But thou art the keeper of the church. Church care. Paul said, the care of all the churches is upon me. It was a bright also, but a heavy burden. But God uses his servants. One water, another plants. By the grace of God, by the grace of God, grace. He's the builder. And I love this. It's so sure. It's guaranteed. Listen to me, boy. It will accomplish. Saving. That's why I come to England. Countries around the world. Because I know that God's word won't return to my bank. Expect blessing upon my word. I wouldn't go anywhere. Man. It's the I am saying I will. I will build. Not maybe. Not I hope not. Not if you disciples are faithful. If you motley group of men. I will build. And I'll build it. With your instrumentality. It's a preaching. I'll use you disciples. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell or Hades. Won't pray. Jesus is making reference here to the custom. The judges and the elders of a city council, so to speak, if that's the word you use over here, for the leaders of the city. In fact, this past summer I had opportunity to go to the city of Denver by archaeologists. And I was amazed. The seat of the elders is still built right into the sea where the elders sat in a circle. Debating about the city. Well, it says Jesus. It's as if the devils gathered of hell to strategize how to bring the, how to win the victory over the Lord Jesus Christ. But they shall not win the victory. From head to toe, with the Christian arms, plate of righteousness, the helmet of hope, I will shod your feet with the gospel of peace. I will outfit you with strength, and I myself will be patient, and will go out and win the battle. But I will crush his head. And I will draw. You see, as Satan was crushing on Calvary, Jesus simultaneously was crushing John Owen in his great book, his great classic, put it this way, in the death of Christ. Through Christ's death, you see, the power of death, Hebrews 2 says, he won the victory and shall conquer the seed of the serpent, the gates of hell, against my bride, the church of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a... To say to 12, or rather 11, nobodies, but made precious in Jesus' sight. Jesus looking around at fishermen, a tax collector, other disciples. That I'm the Son of God, the Savior of the world, my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against me. And what it seems so preposterous is happening. It's happening right now. Tonight in this church. You see, the church is the only institution on the whole face of 3,000 years. There's not a single business company that has lasted, a single world power that has lasted 2,000 years. Only. And that from meager disciples. Friends, let that be for your encouragement tonight. If you want to be holy, you see, you care about Christ's bride. You care about her growth, not only quantitatively, but qualitatively. About these things, you see. It must be your daily prayer and your daily burden. It is that you care about the growth of holiness in the corporate. It becomes your cry and your prayer. Bless thy church. Bless the messages. Lord, build thy church. And don't be to a church's ruination. We have the promise of Christ. Don't we? Predicting the church's ruin while God is preparing for her salvation. Paul said, Don't be too quick to bury the church before she be dead. She's alive. She may be meager. She may sometimes be... She may even develop an Elijah-like mentality and think she's the only one left. Individual churches may close their doors. Denominations may wither. But the Church of Christ can never die. Confession of Faith says it so beautifully. This holy church is preserved and supported by the whole world, even though she sometimes, for a while, appears very sin to be reduced to nothing, as during the perilous reign of Ahab, the Lord chose and men who had not bowed their knees to Baal. Are you one of the 7,000 today? Are you part of the remnant? Part of the church? Promise rightly, friends. If we grasp it rightly, by the grace of God, struggle with in the local church assembly will seem so small. Many of them will just disappear. If we get the glorious vision that God has of His own bride, you see, then we will suffer long with one another. Then love will cover a multitude of faults and wrinkles, because we're the bride of Christ. You see, we always look at the church through human eyes. We don't look at the foundation. We don't look at the cornerstone. Jesus holds it up. Jesus builds it. He's the head of the church. He's the minister of the church. He's the teacher of the church. He's the surety of the church. I had a young person come to me some months ago, and I really do like coming to your church, and I like preaching. I really do, but there's just some people there I don't like. I don't know church because, you know, these people are just, this and that. Oh, my friend, you're in the wrong. You're thinking wrongly. You're looking at the way men. You can't look at the people. You have to look at the Savior. He's the heart of the church. He's the essence of the church. You see, Israel was very depressed in Babylon. And when she thought of the church, she saw only rubbish. Walls broken. But God says in Isaiah 49, you see walls. I see rebuilt walls. See a church hurting, diminished by dissension. God sees a glorious church, elect one, redeemed by the Son. Ephesians 1:7, adopt 8. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. And he whose word cannot be broken, formed thee for his own abode, is founded. What can shake thy sure repose? With salvation thou mayst smile at all thy foes. You see, true Christians are members of the institution, long-term institution, this earth. Timothy Dwight, New England, said this, I love thy church, O God, and dear as the apple of thine eye and graven on thy hand. For her my prayers ascend, to her my pen, till toils and cares shall end. If you love the Lord, with all her warts. You see, the church for saints, the church is a hospital, an emergency ward for sinners. And we in the church, we office bearers, we dedicate our lives to a work in progress. It is being built, not to a church that has been built. We dedicate our lives to what Christ has promised for with his own blood, and to what is worthwhile. In the end, though there will always be dross amid the gold, that's why a minister never has to wake up one day in his midst and say, I don't know if my life is worthwhile. No, always. Valuable occupation on the face of the earth. Christ's bride being built. And my father knew that I was called to the ministry internally. He used to give me advice as a teenage boy. Was never forget the weightiness and the value of the gospel. Because it's Christ's church. You see, this isn't Brother Watts' church, is it? This is Christ's church. He serves the church. But my dad used to say to me, it's more important than living in the White House. Nothing so important. Nothing so responsible. The souls of men. And to bring to the souls of people, children, the words of the living God. But we ministers, we're prone to the same problem, you see. We're prone to look at the church. Many people, we're prone to get discouraged, aren't we?
forget, the church is under construction.
Spurgeon said, I've learned in my life not to preach to the empty pews, but to preach.
It's a work under construction.
You see, construction sites aren't necessarily tidy and neat. While working for my father as a teenager in the summers, a work site was brick laying around. There were strings, there were loose boards, there were nails, there were seemingly abandoned, laying around. There was rubble. It's not pretty. Look at the mess. We can easily become discouraged. We see so many unfinished people in the church. Weaknesses. Every single is a work in progress. Other than that, we're only deceiving ourselves. Speaking of Spurgeon, there was a word, you know, I just can't find a good church. Oh, yeah, she said, I'm. Well, he said, don't join it. Perfect anymore. And we're to help one another. In this response should not be to criticize Jesus' bride, but a response in our overalls and our helmets and get busy on the work site. Asking God to make us useful for the advancing down of the strongholds of Satan. The old reformer said, the way to do that, labora. Pray and work first. Remember Bunyan's statement. You can do more than pray after you pray. You pray and work. That must become our work song. Paul said, the Church of Christ needs servants of all kinds, instruments of every pens as well as swords, axes as well as hammers, Marys, Peters as well as Johns. All laboring together. You see, the eye cannot say to all part of the corporate church. All working together for the well-being of that invisible church. So that one day the bride shall come down to the new Jerusalem temple for her husband. There will not be one in that temple. There will be that temple. There will be no waste beside that temple. There will be bricks or unattached things. There will be no impediments, discouragements, no imperfections, no weaknesses. The church will be perfect. And finally, to those of you who may be struggling with the church's imperfections, I remind you that you too are under construction. And none of us, we all have a long way to go. A long way to go. And I have to admit to you, I've been on the way for 40 years now. Than I am. I should be a lot stronger than I am. I shouldn't, or with the smallest comments, or the smallest sins, patience. I'm ashamed that I'm not much further along, but I think you're in the same boat with me. To grow. Well, let me ask you two questions. If you look back 5 years ago in your life, do you think more or less of Jesus Christ now than you did 5 years ago? And secondly, do you think more or less now than you did 5 years ago? And if you must say tonight, I and more of myself and my own holiness, I say to you freely, you are not growing. You are indeed regretting. But if you can say with John the Baptist, and I must decrease, and you, and I can't deny I think less of myself, the construction is going, the Lord is building you. I will not rest until the work is complete. I will lose none of those whom thou, and one day, you're a believer. One day, the scaffolding can be. One day, you will pass from the militant church to the triumphant church. Christ will be able to have you in the crowd, as he says to his father, and all the elect. And in that day, all sorrow will, all sighing will flee away.
All sin shall be, shall forever be with the Lamb who sits on the throne. And Christ, and in all. And he shall be the center. As William Gurnall put it, the church is nothing. Christ displayed. So quaintly and so lovely. He's the king of the church. And the church is the greatest goal of the world. So let us, church, let us long for her progress. For true believers, we're heirs to Christ's cross, but also to God's glory. And we're headed where God will get all the glory. If you're not converted, if you're not born again, your own righteousness, brought to repentance before God, brought to cast all, believe in him alone for salvation. The Holy Spirit revealed him to you through the lattice of his word. You're actually of his enemy. For the abyss of hell. Oh, that you would cry out. Oh, that you would repent. Oh, that you would turn to the living God and cry out. I do. To be saved. To want to be part of that land of glory where he, the glory. I close tonight with a quote from Stephen Marshall, one of the most beautiful quotations I've ever read on the tree. That God looks for to eternity must the rock of his building of Zion, the church, shall be the monument of his glory to all eternity. This heaven and earth that you see and enjoy the use of is set up only as a workshop for God to stand only for a week, for 6 years, and when his work is done, he will throw this piece of clay down the gourd, which springs up in a night and withers in a day. He sets up for a higher end to be his holiness and his honor. This, his church, his metropolis, his temple, his house, be all the glory. Amen. God of heaven, we bow before thee in these moments, and we call out the King, the Head, the Mediator, thy church. We thank thee that thou wilt build her, and that thou wilt not rest until thou wilt. And we pray that every one of us may be of thy Zion. O God, help us, and outside of thy church, we perish. We go our own way. But only when we abide the Holy Spirit shall we abide forever thee and thy glory, world without end. Congregation, remember the pastor. Confirm for the office bearers, for the church, upon will I build my Jesus' name we pray. Amen.